Next is Don Melissa Montour.
What when we rado gonna walk it on? Sagat zits under new juts. Walks career again, the Hanak Green and see Nibo got zero. Hello, gonna walk you. How are you tonight? I'm very thankful and happy to be here with you this evening. My name is Don Melissa Montour. I'm a political consultant and a legal services specialist. I was born and raised here. My parents are Don LaHash and James Montour. I have a 20-year-old son, and his name is Bryant Montour LeBlanc. With him is my wonderful daughter-in-law-to-be, Haley Morris. I'm married to Wajil Lazar. Together, we work hard every day as entrepreneurs and employ as many families and single moms as we can. We always try to accommodate our employees around their families because we know what it is to be away from our families just to be able to provide for them. As a single mother for a long time, I know what it is to struggle with school, work, balancing out your duties and obligations as a parent. We know the hardships of employment dry spells and the cost of sporting activities. We know what it means to sacrifice. We know what hard work and dedication means because nothing was handed to us on a silver platter. That builds character, that builds work ethics. When you work hard at something and you get it, you appreciate and respect it more. When things are just given to you, we tend to just say, cool. But that doesn't teach you anything, and you don't gain anything from it. Our community was built on these very sacrifices our men and women have made toward our future generations. By excelling in the fields of construction, our men are world-renowned as iron workers and tradesmen. By fighting for and exercising our inherent rights in trade and commerce, mainly tobacco at this time, our continuous duty to protect our homeland, the list goes on. We know we're good. We always strive for the best because we are the best. We are the keepers of the Eastern Door for a reason. Don't ever forget what our ancestors fought for. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. Now we must keep fighting like them for our children and our grandchildren. Our children are precious, and we would do anything for them. So why not give our best efforts and start paving their way, always seeking advice from our elders? They have so much knowledge and experience to share. They carry our language and are always happy to pass it down in Gunyagaha. This is what it's all about, folks. This is how we function in our society. Everyone has a responsibility and a role to play. Now it's time for us that are sitting here before you to start taking on the tasks of governance and the order of doing things. But before you start, we have to all do this together. We have to keep that mindset. We have to work together. I will work with everybody in this community. I can only promise one thing, and that's I will work hard and do my best to advance our people and our community's interests. This is our home. We will grow and prosper together by expanding our horizons in more ways than one. We have a justice system in its infancy, and together we're going to strengthen it to enforce all Mohawk law. We will validate our own economic needs, we will maintain our own family and social affairs, and we will do this together by securing our jurisdiction and exercising our inherent rights. And when we do this, we are going to be unstoppable. Our youth of today are uniquely gifted and extremely intelligent. So why not tailor educational needs to give them better opportunities for their future employment? Fight for more funding. Fight for more programs and services to ensure student success ratios they soar. Education doesn't always mean a degree from a university. It can also be a trade. We all know some people are hands-on, and we will fight to make sure that they get funded for any trade. We will fight for our children, because our children are the leaders and builders of tomorrow. So let's make sure we give them everything we've got. In closing, we come from a long history of people who have fought hard and won. I'm for more jobs, increasing social aid to the cost of living, increased funding for our elders, more education, a better system of governance, and that benefits all of Gunawagadono. With your support, we will do this together. Your support is greatly appreciated. Nyawagoa, and thank you for your time, and good luck to everybody.
Next on the list, David A. Dibble.
This is the live broadcast of Candidates Night at the Knights of Columbus on K1037.
Say good day, what's going on? What are you doing? The Hawanuja Yujits, Ganawagi, Ganyagi Hagi, Ganawagi Nidu again. Good evening, everybody. My name is David Dibble. My father is Matthew Dibble. My mother is Margaret Thomas. I have 6 brothers and 5 sisters. Many of you know who they are. I've lived here in Gunawagi all my life, but I left for a while, like most of the men, to do iron work in the United States, commuting back and forth between home and work and family. I'm working currently for the Assembly of First Nations as their special advisor on emergency management. I've done 3 years working for INAC at the time, Indigenous Services Canada now, as program manager for their non-structural mitigation and emergency preparedness funding envelope. I've also worked for the Mohawk Council of Gunawagi as their safety inspector on the Mercy Bridge for 3 years. I have recent distinctions in occupational health and safety, emergency management, and Indigenous policy and administration from Carleton University. I plan to add public safety within 2 years, a master's degree. What do I offer you as a candidate? Experience, education, and transparency. Honesty, integrity, openness, ambition, drive. Basically, I offer all my knowledge, skills, and ability. I believe that adaptation equals resilience, equals sustainability. We wouldn't be here today if our ancestors didn't adapt to their environment. I believe what Gus believes, that we have to protect our inherent rights. We have to adapt to the coming environment. With the devolution of federal responsibilities to the provincial regions, we'll have no one left to go back to bring our cases to. We'll have to deal with the provinces, and the provinces don't care about our rights. I've seen this from my experience working for the government. They can't wait for us to be assimilated. So protecting our inherent rights are important. It's probably more important than any file that is going right now. I'm also interested in improving the current conditions in Gunawagi, and that includes labor, public safety mostly, because I have a background in occupational health and safety and emergency management. Lands, housing, we're critically short in housing, but we're critically short in lands also. If we have more land, we could have more housing, more industry, more jobs. So economic development is something that I'm also interested in. And with that comes employment. Also, the citizenship that Gus spoke about is important, because as everybody knows, there's lots of groups out there. There's at least 3 groups currently developing that are creating their own cards and asking for their own rights as a distinct group. And one of them actually does have their own cards now. The rest are all promoting their fake cards. And we have to protect ourselves from this, because they undermine our rights and identity as Indigenous people. With this, I think we should examine the issue from all sides. We know what our community wants. We have to make sure that that's a concrete issue for us, that there's no question about it. The Band Council, of course, will promote that to the federal government, who, as I said, is going to devolve it to the provinces. So we're really just talking to the provinces about who we are and what we are, and promoting that and trying to keep that alive. So some of the other things that I think we should really be looking at is the, like, cannabis. This is going to bring some benefits through maybe employment, creation, economic development, but it's also going to bring some drawbacks. If you think back to the days of alcohol prohibition, this is basically the same thing. And we've already seen what the kind of effect drugs has on our community. So whatever we decide, we have to make sure that we enforce it. We can't just promote the ideology of one sector of the community over the community right. As a community as a whole, we should be protecting ourselves and our communities. In any case, I welcome all support from you, and thank you everybody for coming out.
Next on the list is Tanya Perron.
We'd like to remind Ganawaga Rono, advanced polls at the Golden Age Club will be taking place this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Gwe, and good evening. Thank you all for coming tonight. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Tanya Perron. My mother is Wanda Phillips. Many of you know her as Lulu. My father is Roger Perron. I'm married to Thomas Lahesh, a.k.a. Tommy. And we have two sons together, aged 9 and 12. I'm a graduate of McGill Law in 1995. I graduated with two law degrees from the national program, it was called at the time. And since 1997, I've been in private practice, a criminal lawyer in this community. I was a teacher for a number of years at John Abbott College. I taught police technology to the Aboriginal students. In fact, I taught some of the peacekeepers that we have on the force today. I've spoke at a number of conferences on various topics. I'm currently also a prosecutor in Agusasne for ethical complaints against council chiefs, and I've been doing that for the last 10 years. I also sit on the Native Roundtable in the District of Valleyfield, where we discuss issues involving Indigenous offenders within the legal system. It mostly applies to Agusasne, but of course the issues are spread across the board. When I decided to go to law school, I did that with the vision that I would one day become a lawyer and I would represent our people in a system that was not familiar to them, and a system that to me didn't seem to be too considerate of our culture and our distinctiveness. For 21 years, I've had the pleasure of representing community members, not only from this community, but also from our sister community of Agusasne. For those of you that know me, you know who I am, you know what I'm about, and you know what I've given to this community over the last 21 years. For those of you that don't know who I am, well, this is who I am. I am someone who has served on our community for many years in one form or another. Granted, I've never worked for council or any of the council organizations. I may not have participated in community meetings or CDMP meetings due to mostly my court scheduling, but that doesn't mean that I have not been actively involved in community matters, and that does not mean that I am not aware of the issues facing our community and our people. Many people are not aware that in the early years of my practice, I devoted countless hours of my time, volunteering for the alternative dispute resolution as a restorative justice facilitator. Following that, I went on to volunteer my time as an arbitrator. I've also spent countless hours providing assistance to anyone in need in our community, often without expecting anything in return except for a simple thank you. I've offered elders and individuals with little to no financial means free advice when I could. I'm not asking you guys for a pat on the back. I'm simply asking that everyone understand what I'm about and what I've been doing all these years in practice. Yes, to some, I may be just a criminal lawyer, but that has entailed more than meets the eye. As a criminal lawyer representing Indigenous clients, I've had to deal with more issues than a lawyer representing the general population. I've had to fight for the outside courts to recognize the jurisdiction of our peacekeepers over that of the SQ with respect, to the policing of our major highways within our surrounding territory. I've had to battle with the provincial and federal governments over matters relating to the tobacco industry. Recently, I've been assisting in resolving an issue regarding lack of funding for long-term private alcohol and drug treatment for our people. I've had to push for the courts in Quebec to adhere to sentencing principles that are set out in the law that require them to pay particular attention to the circumstances of Aboriginal offenders, something they should have been doing since 1999, but unfortunately were not. It took many years of effort and persistence to finally get Quebec courts to understand this and the bureaucracy of the government to catch up to the law. So when you ask, why am I running and what can I do for this community if I'm elected, please consider what I have just told you. Consider the fact that I've already been representing community interests, but on a different level. I've been limited in what I've been able to do from my office desk and as one person. Being elected to council would give me the opportunity to address community issues on another level, all with the support of the community and the other members of council behind me. So I hope to see you on July 7th, and I hope to have your vote now.
Next on the list is Lindsay LeBourne.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lindsay LeBourne. I was born in 1958 in New York. I went to school there, elementary school and high school. My mom and dad are Patricia Deere and Ronald LeBourne, both deceased now. I have a brother, Adam LeBourne. I'm married to Margie Jacobs. I have two children, Brittany LeBourne and Wazokwiosta LeBourne. After I finished high school in 1975, I joined the U.S. Navy. I was a member of the U.S. Navy for 4 years. I was discharged honorably in 1979. In 1980, I joined the peacekeepers. They had just come into force, so to speak. I was on there at two different times in my life for a total of about 3 years. I also went to iron worker apprenticeship program in Local 40. I graduated. This year I celebrate my 35th year as a member. However, I've only worked in the business for 19 of those 35 years. I was also a member of the Mohawk Council of Ganawage from 1992 to 2006. After losing the election in 2006, I went back to ironwork where I've been since then. My mom passed away in February of this year, so I came back to unravel all the things that you have to do as the executor of the estate. I was talking to some friends of mine one night, and they had mentioned to me, is an upcoming election in town, and why didn't I think about, you know, running for a council member again? So I thought that after all those years that I was on, I'll tell you what, when you lose an election, it's not a nice feeling. And I thought that I still had more to give the community, and so I decided to put my name in again. There's a lot of things, as we all know, that are coming up, the legalization of marijuana. They just passed the membership law. There's lands. There's all sorts of problems that we have. I think that with all the experience I've had over my lifetime in different jobs, different organizations, dealing with different peoples, that I still can make a contribution to the community. So therefore, I put my name back in. I'd like to thank you all for coming out tonight. I know we're going to be taking questions later on, so I'll pass it on to another candidate. Thank you very much.